everyone, welcome back to Voice of Unwavering Confidence. My name is Omolola Igbeaida. I hope you guys have had an amazing week. This week we're having something different. We're going to be treating a topic, but today I'm not going to be alone. I'm going to be with my very good friend, and we're going to be talking about sleep versus rest. It's something that we all like to sleep, and rest is something that we always look forward to when we finally get the chance to rest. But we're going to be looking at this in a deeper version today, and I'll get her to introduce herself. Annie, say hi.
Hi guys, my name is Eniola Adams. I'm being held against my will. This is super awkward.
Okay, so we're talking about sleep versus rest, and really what brought this topic about was this day I was just sleeping. I had stuff on my mind, but I didn't want to face it, and I didn't want to bring it to God for some reason. Maybe because I felt I wasn't in a good space enough to even take anything to Him, or taking something to Him would make me ungrateful. But we all have those times, and I feel this is something we need to talk about, and I pray that God will enlighten us and teach us what He wants us to learn from today's episode. So Annie, would you pray for us?
Heavenly Father, we thank You, God. Thank You, God, because You are good and You are God. We ask, oh God, that whatever we discuss today, that You, oh God, are the one that would show us how to practice Your word in Jesus' name. We pray that You will write Your word in our hearts, and God, that we will never depart from You. Father, we ask, oh God, that as we speak, that no heresy shall come forth from our mouth, but whatever we speak will be in aligning with what You have taught us in Your word. Amen.
Amen. So, as nurses, well, we're both nurses, there's this thing that we usually do at work. Part of our documentation requires us to fill out how well our patients are sleeping. And usually we write a summary of the hours that they've slept, and we generally ask them if they felt that the sleep was restful. Many times, even though our patients sleep for like 10 hours, they still report that they didn't feel rested while they slept, which just further proves what I was talking about earlier. But we're going to look at this in a deeper way, like I said. So Annie, what do you think is the difference between sleep and rest? Like, when you sleep, are you actually resting?
For me, like, I like sleeping. When I'm sleeping, I'm resting. For me, sleep is just a state of physically being, I would say, unconscious, but rest is a state of peace. But at the same time, you can find rest while you are unconscious in your sleep.
But do you ever find that there are times when you're asleep and you're still, like, your mind is bouncing off or thinking about things?
For me, that's really not something I experience often. It would probably be in a rare case. If, for example, the only case where I would not have a restful sleep is if I'm dreaming. Like, I'm, for example, I could be dreaming that I'm dragging a suitcase all around New York airport and I wake up exhausted. Or if before I sleep, I'm so excited about something and I can't wait to get to that thing. While I'm sleeping, or while I'm trying to sleep, it would be difficult for me to fall asleep. But other than that, I'm a pretty easy sleeper.
Okay. So I think for me, when I find that sleep is not restful is when I'm bothered, and anybody that knows me knows that I can worry for Africa. But yeah, that's when I generally feel like my sleep is not restful. So sometimes sleep doesn't mean rest for me. But let's see what may be the root cause of these, and let's take a look at the scripture and what the Bible has to say about sleep and rest. We'll be taking our reading today from Psalm 127, and we're going to read verses 1 to 2. And we're reading from the easy-to-read version of the Bible. If you guys have your Bibles, you can turn with us, but we'll be reading from the easy-to-read version of the Bible.
Psalm 127.
127, yes.
Well, why are you changing your voice? What the hell? Okay.
Psalm 127 says, If it is not the Lord who builds a house, the builders are wasting their time. If it is not the Lord who watches over the city, the guards are wasting their time. It is a waste of time to get up early and stay up late, trying to make a living. The Lord provides for those He loves, and even while they are sleeping. What do you think about this verse?
I feel like what God is emphasizing there is not even necessarily sleep as in how we human beings see sleep. I feel like He's emphasizing the fact that even when we feel like we're doing nothing, that He's working timelessly on our behalf. So sometimes people may feel like the need to go do this, go do that, go get this job, go do that, go do all these 10,000 things. But really, even if you were not doing those things, God will still be coming through for you. And I think that physical sleep is also a way to put one's trust in God and say, God, I trust that you would wake me up. I trust that you would have control of things even when I'm asleep, because you have control of things even when I'm awake.
I like the fact that you said us going to sleep is actually a form of trust in God, which there are a lot of people that don't see it that way. And to be honest, like, it doesn't really come to my mind often that, okay, yes, me going to sleep is me saying that I trust God to wake me up and I trust God to sort out these different things that I need sorted out. And some people, it's not because they are worried that they can't have rest when they sleep. For some people, it's the fact that they have so many things on their agenda that they feel they need to accomplish, and that's what gives them unrest while they sleep. So
it's funny that you say that, because I always just think in my mind that not sleeping does not necessarily mean that you're being productive. I remember when I used to be in university, and in my first year, I will read and I will read and I will read. I will read for 48 hours and I will read unending, and until my brain starts pulsating and I feel like I'm going to drop dead any second. But as I grew older and I kind of knew myself better, even when my friends are reading till 5 a.m., 6 a.m., I would tell myself I will read, and if it's at 2 a.m. that I feel tired and I feel sleepy, I will go to bed and sleep and wake up the next morning, because I know that at that point I'm not being productive. And I would say that those years were the years where I performed at my best, because I was resting, I was giving my body what it needed. It's just like the story of Martha and Mary. So was it Martha that was in the kitchen doing all the cooking, doing this, doing that? She thought, oh, I'm not resting, I'm going and I'm working and I'm doing all these things for Jesus. He's gonna like love all these things. I'm going to make him this nice pound of yam. He's going to be so happy. But really, Martha was taking her rest in Jesus. So like, I would say Mary was taking her rest with Jesus, which was way more important than what Martha was doing in the kitchen. Mary was at the feet of Jesus listening to him. So in the end of the day, Martha thought that she was being productive, but Jesus sort of rebuked her and said, this is what you should be doing. You should be taking rest at my feet and actually listening to me. So we as Christians don't need to observe the Sabbath anymore, because Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is now the person that we ought to take rest in. So sometimes not taking rest could be from a place of pride, where you feel like you have to be awake and be on guard and doing all these things. Technically, if you think that way, it's you're subconsciously thinking that your being awake is what is holding things together, which is not. Whether you're asleep or whether you're awake, God is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the one who is the reason why I have edges or don't have edges. He's the reason why whatever is going on. So me saying I can't sleep or me not wanting to sleep, it could also could also basically be as a result of lack of faith in God.
Yeah, which is very true. And what I'm thinking about now is, if we look at it on the flip side of things, there are people who that sleep, even if you're sleeping, may not necessarily show that they trust in God. It may just be a sign of like a lackadaisical attitude, mm-hmm. or a sign of complacency, mm-hmm. which for me, I would say that that's what I experience most of the time when I just vacate a problem and like sleep. It's not necessarily that I'm sleeping because I trust God. It's because I'm just sleeping because I just don't want to deal. And I'm not necessarily exercising faith in God in that moment. So sometimes sleepiness or being asleep can also just mean pride. Just the same way us being awake and not sleeping can mean pride. Mm-hmm. Sleeping can mean pride as well. Like, okay, I can't deal with this situation, so I'm just going to sleep. Forgetting that you should maybe wake up, pray about the issue, and leave it to God. Mm-hmm. Do you get what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And sleeping a lot can also mean you're just pure lazy.
Exactly.
So I feel like there has to be a balance. So when you do sleep, make sure you get the rest that you need. But sometimes I feel like, because I work a lot on days that I'm not working, sometimes I sleep and I'm like, it comes to my mind like, Eniola, do you want to sleep unto death? Like, I just keep sleeping and sleeping. I've passed the point where I've slept and I've gotten rest. In fact, I sleep so much that when I wake up, I am so exhausted. I just lay dead on my bed, like, just sleeping all day.
Yeah. So when I was reading up on rest, and I know that the children of Israel were a set of people that God promised rest, but they actually, a lot of them didn't enter into the promised land because of their unbelief and because of their pride. And even in God giving them instructions on what to do, they felt like they were prideful in some ways, because at some point they felt like God needed to show them the whole picture. At some point they wanted to go back to Egypt because they didn't understand what God was doing with them. Mm-hmm. And we can find that, you know, what God talking about that in Isaiah chapter 28, in verse 12. Isaiah 28 verse 12 says, "In the past he spoke to them and said, here is a resting place. Let those who are tired come and rest. This is the place of rest. But they will not listen to him. So the Lord's words will be senseless to them." So the Lord's words would be senseless sounds to them. So a lot of the times when God tells us to rest about a certain situation, you know that Bible passage that says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and thanksgiving make your requests known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind." Mm-hmm. That's a direct instruction from God saying that when you're worried, don't be anxious. Pray, be thankful, and let the peace of God guard your heart and mind. But then a lot of times we pick up those things again and then we start worrying about it. In that moment, we're basically disobeying what God wants us to do. And that is basically what these people did in Isaiah 28, when he said that he told them this is the place of rest, but he also says that they wouldn't listen to him because the words of the Lord became like soundless, senseless sounds in their ears. One thing that also strikes me when I think about rest and about how we have work to do and we want to finish all these things that we have planned and blah blah blah, is the fact that we actually cannot get the full rest that we need in life, in on this earth, because our eternal rest is the ultimate rest that we would get. And it's in Hebrews chapter 4 that it talks about this. Hebrews chapter 4 basically talks about God's promise of rest, and it particularly says in verses 9 to 11. So Hebrews chapter 4, verses
Hebrews 4,
verses 9 to 11. So it says, this shows that the seventh day rest for God's people is still to come. God rested after he finished his work. So everyone who enters God's place of rest will also have rest from their work, just as God did. So let us try as hard as we can to enter God's place of rest. We must try hard so that none of us will be lost by following the example of those who refuse to obey God. Again, that's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 to 11. You guys can go back and read and just digest.
So how can
digest.
One enter God's rest?
Yeah. How can we enter God's rest? I feel the answer for me would be by trusting God completely. Like that Proverbs 3, 5 to 6 says that, trust the Lord in all your hearts, lean not on your own understanding.
3, 5 to 6.
Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. And acknowledging God is another way to enter into rest. Because if you know that, okay, God is in the situation, no matter whether it goes left or right, up or down, God is in the midst of this. Whatever it is, that means God is in control. So knowing that now, definitely more opportunities of unrest will come up. How do you now carry the knowledge that we have forward? Like how do you approach the next situation that may appear to bring unrest?
For me, like, sometimes I can have a appear to have a lackadaisical attitude towards situations that are kind of, how would I say, like, massive, or like, you don't know how to navigate a situation. Because, guys, I just can't kill myself. I just recognize my powerlessness in the grand scheme of things. For example, let's make a hypothetical situation. Let's say that for some reason the CIA is out to get me or something. My mother, my father, my uncle, my auntie, nobody can save me because we're talking about the CIA. So I sometimes see situations that are difficult to navigate like that. Like, you just have to rest in God's power and in his might, because you're just that powerless. So I say that to say that when you are in a situation where you find that the situation is much bigger than you, the first thing that you have to do is recognize your powerlessness. Recognize that you are a strong black or white woman or Asian woman or whatever woman, but you're not even half, quarter, 0.00015 as powerful as God. And in comparison to God, you are powerless. And you just have to rest in the fact that when it comes to comparing yourself to God, you are powerless. And you have to rest in that fact and say, you know what? sometimes I tell myself, Eniola, there's nothing you can do. You can't change this situation. The CIA is after you. Russia is sending their drones to attack you. You are powerless. But there is only one person in this entire universe that can save me from this situation. If he so pleases, if it's his good pleasure, he will save me. And you just have to rest in that fact. People that don't find rest in particular situations, when I don't find rest in particular situations, it's because I think I am powerful. I am trying all that I can to make the situation work out, and I am failing. I am failing woefully, and that is bringing more and more stress because the power that I think that I have is not working. So before you two, whenever you are in a situation when life's wind comes tumbling down, you first have to recognize your powerlessness. Look at what David, was it David who said that? Who am I that you are mindful of me? Yeah. Was it David? Who am I? Who is man that God is mindful of him? Who is man? Like, what am I? I'm nothing. I am nobody. I am nothing. Who am I that God is mindful of me? I am powerless. However, I am powerful when it comes to facing the enemy. But when it comes to me going to God and saying, here is my problem, I am recognizing that I am powerless. I am saying, God, I cannot do this on my own. I cannot do this without you. In fact, I dare say that Christians are powerful. However, normal human beings are powerless. What makes us powerful? The thing that makes us powerful is Christ, is our submission to the will of God. The Bible says that as Christians, we are seated with Christ on his seat, which basically means that we are with Christ. It is when we are with Christ that we are powerful. It is when we are submitted to the headship of Christ that we're powerful. You cannot be against God or being outside the will of God and trying to claim power. When we submit to the headship of God and say, God, by myself, Eniola, like me, with my all the cells in my body, I'm powerless. I'm nobody. Who am I that you are mindful of me? But when I come to you and I kneel before you and I say, God, help me. Without you, I cannot do it. Then I'm able to obtain power to conquer whatever situation I'm in. So I say that to say that whatever situation that is bringing us unrest, we have to first understand our state of powerlessness as mere human beings. Give ourselves over to God, our worries over to God, and trust that in his good pleasure, he will do what is best for you. And we as Christians always have to rest in the fact that sometimes you will pray for things and those things will not work out the way you have prayed for. It's just like, imagine a woman who's pregnant and she's carrying the baby and she's having complications and she's like, oh dear Lord, let this baby be fine, let this baby be well, and the baby comes out a stillborn. But you have to trust in the fact that God is still good. Good is God. God is good. God cannot be bad because that is against his nature. God is so good. Even if it comes out in a way that
we don't like,
you don't like, you have to rest in the fact that you just have to trust the word of God because the word of God is God. The Message Bible says that the word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. Literally. The word of God, the word that spoke the earth into motion, became man and dwelt amongst us. God is so good. His word, he honors his word more than he honors his name. You just have to trust in the fact that God is just so good. He's just so sweet. And you just have to trust in that fact and put your heart to rest. There's a difference between saying, oh, I feel like, oh, I'm resting, I feel like I'm doing well, I feel like, but when it comes to facing the giants, you're running helter-skelter and like, oh my God, so what's going to happen tomorrow? The Bible says that even the birds of the air, he provides food for them. How much more us? God did not die to save the birds of the air.
Yeah.
He died to save me, to save you, to save Lola, to save everybody, no matter how bad we are. The Bible says that it is his will that no man perishes. And so we have to just trust in that fact and say, I will take rest in God. I would trust in God. I would trust that maybe I'll lose my job tomorrow. Maybe I'll lose my family tomorrow. Maybe what? But I would just trust in God. I remember I was telling someone that I feel like lately I've been learning and I've been practicing living in the moment. I don't sit down saying, I wish I was in Osaka in Japan, you know, buying Louis Vuitton and buying Gucci and buying blah blah blah. Or I don't sit down and say, hey, I wish. Even if those things may be nice and may be amazing, I wouldn't say, oh, I wish my parents had 5 private jets and gave me 1. Oh, I wish this, I wish that. I just sit down and enjoy the moment I'm in, including the good and including the bad. Because I always tell myself that the bad moments I've had in the past, I miss them right now. Surprisingly, I miss them. I miss those days when I used to be in university and I used to be reading and my brain would be bursting. I miss those moments. But I lived those moments wishing they would be other moments. Wishing that they would be when I'm a working woman, I'm working and I don't have to do tests, I don't have to do exam, I don't have to memorize all the medications that ever existed in the world. I'm just working and working. But now I'm like, I don't want to wake up at 5 a.m. and get ready for work and think about business and think about this and think about that. But I wasted all those moments. Do I really, really, really want to go back to school and study? Maybe yes, maybe no. But what I'm saying, the moral of what I'm saying is enjoy every moment. People think that they're only supposed to enjoy the good moments, but I dare say that you ought to enjoy even the moments that you don't feel are good. Because as Christians, remember that God is working everything out for our good. Can you imagine that? So if God is working everything out for my good, that the Bible is essentially saying that whatever bad you're experiencing now, you're going to look at it later on and see that it was for your good, which would make you look back and say, oh, wow, really? So I have challenged myself and I continue to challenge myself that even if I'm in a house and I want to live in a mansion, I'm enjoying the house I am. I'm looking at it from a positive perspective and saying, well, it's cozy, it's nice, it's pretty, it's all that I need. And when I get to the mansion, I'll say, wow, there's a lot of leg room. There's a lot of, if you're in economy on the plane, say to yourself, well, the seats are closer. I can talk to person A and person B. I can save some money. Heck, I can save some couple thousand bucks. And when you get to business class, say, I am thankful. I can meet people who are of a certain caliber and glean from what they know about life. And when I get to first class, I can say, well, there's a lot of leg room here and I'm happy. But don't sit in economy wishing so badly that you could be in first class that you forget to enjoy economy. I'm not saying that you shouldn't wish to be in a place that is better than where you are. But you should never wish for something so much so that you forget to enjoy the place that you are, even if the place that you are may not be all joys. And no place really is all joys. I usually tell people that. People say they want to be rich, but it's just like big girl comes with big problems. You right now may be like, oh my God, I have to pay for my car's parking spot and it's $70 a month. But honey, when you become a billionaire, you have to think about the parking spot for your private jet. And trust me, that's not $70. It could be $70,000. So you have to live your life in a way of, I am enjoying this moment. If you are away from your family, say, I am happy I'm away from my family because when they see me, there's this novelty, there's this niceness, there's this sweetness. I remember when I was studying and I was in Canada, and I would go back home to Nigeria and my mom would serve me. In fact, she would even pack the plate. Heck, if I was living in Nigeria, I'm sure my mom would be like, you cook your own dinner and pack your own plates. So you have to look at life from a place that gives yourself rest, and you have to avoid any situation that steals your rest. And you have to avoid people who don't respect your rest, who don't give you space for rest. Some people don't care about your rest. For example, I'm somebody that I know that sleep is very important for me, and I protect my time, and I don't like keeping people waiting. I don't like being kept waiting. But for example, if I had an appointment with somebody at 10 p.m. or let me say 7 p.m. at night, because I know I need to go to bed at 9 p.m. at night to go to work the next day, and the person shows up at 10 p.m., I would politely decline the meeting and say, I'm sorry, I'm not available, because I know I need to be in bed at a certain time. And I know that that person won't be there when I'm seeing my patients the next day and my eyes are rolling backwards because I am so sleepy. So you have to be audacious enough to protect your rest time. Sometimes people will say, oh, I could be free Monday and Tuesday. And somebody will say, Eniola, are you available on Monday and Tuesday? And I will say, oh, unfortunately, I'm not available on Monday and Tuesday. Because you are free does not mean you are available. Because I'm free does not mean I'm available. I am free, but I'm not available to go out to do all those things that you're asking me to do, because I am choosing to spend my time in my house, maybe cooking, resting, watching a little bit of YouTube, reading my Bible, just resting. So people often forget, they overbook themselves and they say, because I'm free on Monday and Tuesday, and you're working, let me say Tuesday to Sunday or Wednesday to Sunday. If you don't make time for yourself, people are always going to be there digging their hands into time of rest. So you have to be audacious enough to tell people, unfortunately, I'm not available at this time. And if people don't respect your time of rest, you basically make yourself unavailable. There's no way someone can make you available if you say that you're not available. So it's very important for people to change their mindset and say, for example, there could be people who call you. I hate it when somebody is nagging and complaining and complaining and complaining and complaining. If I know that somebody is going to call me and complain that, oh my God, my hair is so long, I hate it so much, and just stealing my rest and just making me think about all my dead edges, I'm going to basically shut in that time and just let the person know that, unfortunately, I'm not available at this time. Some people like to call you at 11 a.m., 11 p.m. That is when you put your phone on do not disturb. You have to have a time of rest. And time of rest for me does not mean that I'm in bed and I'm sleeping or that I'm cooped up somewhere. Time of rest could be me just being in my house, doing laundry, cooking, looking at recipe, doing things that, you know, are just normal. You don't always have to give all the time that you have to people, because people are always willing to eat out of that time. And to round off what I was saying, you have to be audacious enough to protect your private time, to protect your time of rest. And number two, you have to appreciate the good and the bad. That is life. You have to appreciate the good and the bad. You have to appreciate the good and the bad. You just have to appreciate it. Don't want to be somewhere else so much that you forget to enjoy where you are. because you're going to be at that place you wanted to be, wishing you could be somewhere else again. It's just so stressful. So just be you and just love God and just be normal.
That was a lot, and definitely I have learned from what she has said.
I've also learned from what I've said. Oh, my leg.
I've learned from what she has said, and I can definitely relate. I can tell you, I always say that there's nothing that assures me other than experience. Well, assures me of something other than experience. I can tell you for sure that if you don't rest in the moment that you're in, because you're looking forward to another moment, you will get to that place wishing for the next moment. Is something that I've experienced, and I would definitely take this that I've heard today and put it into practice. I hope that as many people that listen to this would actually listen, take some time and listen, think about it, go back, go over the Bible passages. I always say and believe that whatever Bible passage is being read can be interpreted in so many different ways. Maybe listening to this for you to get something else from it. So take our time and don't skip over the parts where we read the Bible. Actually read on your own. Listen to the words of advice, and listen not just to listen but to put into practice. To end off, we're going to go to one last Bible passage, and it's from Psalm 16. Psalm 16, and I'm going to read from verse 9 to 11. Or from verse 8, actually. So if you're listening and you want to say this along as a prayer, please feel free. We're going to follow, and Yola is going to follow as I read. And I'm just going to say this, giving time for anyone who wants to say along to repeat. It says, I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for He is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My body rests in safety, for You will not leave my soul among the dead or allow Your Holy One to rot in grave. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of Your presence and the pleasures of living with You forever. I hope this is a passage that we can always turn to when we feel unrest and when we feel like we can't enjoy the moments that we are in. I hope that you've been blessed by this. It's a little longer than we usually go, but it's definitely worth every minute that you listen. So we speak with you again next time. God bless you and have an amazing weekend. Bye.